Shall we praise the Lord? You're not praising me, you're praising Jesus. Praise his name. Praise his name. He woke you up this morning. He's the reason why you're living and breathing. Praise God. You know I love the house of the Lord. My joy, as it says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. A woman of God just stood here and you hear the strength and you see the joy. That's how we all need to be. You can't sit around now groping and moaning. You have to thank God for life. You have to thank him every day for life because it's his grace and his mercy while we are here. Bow your head so that I can pray, please. Blessed Heavenly Father, once again this afternoon, I want to give you praise, honor, and glory. You are Lord all by yourself. You are worthy of all the praise, the honor, and the glory. And your name and your name alone is to be exalted. Father, your name is to be magnified and your name is to be glorified. You alone are the King of kings and the Lords of lords. You are the conquering lion of the great tribe of Judah. And Father, I stand here to declare that you are Lord. I reverence you and I praise you. And I'm here now, Lord, for you just to use me as a simple vessel. Father, I pray that you will touch the heart of someone or everyone in the name of Jesus and let your name and your name alone be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. I greet you all again in the name of Jesus. I greet the bishop. I greet our visiting pastor, Sister Noreen. I greet Dr. Chris, Elder Francis, Deacon Gill, the body of Christ, all the workers, the praise team. I greet you all in the name of Jesus. Not forgetting my beautiful wife, my rib, I love you, and I honor you, praise God. The nugget today is called an injunction over your life. I'll say it again, an injunction over your life. Injunction means restraining a person from beginning. Sit for a second and think, and I'll say it again. Restraining a person from the beginning. What am I talking about? Restraining their walk or restraining them from becoming a man of God. Restraining them from knowing Jesus Christ. It also means a decree. An injunction means an order. An injunction means a mandate. This is what it means, a mandate. Who has a mandate on the lives of our children if they're not in Christ Jesus? Who has a mandate on them? The one who we fight every day, the devil. He has a mandate on our children. It's time that some of us need to wake up and realize truthfully, and I'll start with me. Some of your kids are not saved. See, we don't like to talk like this. We will talk about another's child, but we won't look at our own. My children are not saved. You see, you can't be saved if you're shacking up with a man. You can't be saved. You see, but we don't like to hear that kind of talk. But you know what? The truth has to be told. You can't be saved if you're smoking ganja morning, noon, and night. You cannot be saved. Husbands and wives, you cannot be saved if you will not submit to your husband. I'm sorry, you are not saved. You see, we have to recognize who Jesus is and the price that he paid in full for each and every one of us. And we have to line up with the word of God. We have to. See, when you realize that sometimes your children were here, but they've gone back out into that world, they're doing things that are ungodly. When you recognize that, and as Sister Noreen said it, then you will find the prayer room. You see, the prayer room should be so packed that there should be not room enough to stand. But you know what? Unfortunately, some of us wait until one of ours are dropped down with a knife or a gun. Then you hit the prayer room. You shouldn't hit the prayer room at that particular time. You should be in there every week anyway, praying for some child. Whether in England, Jamaica, America, wherever it is, all our children in this generation are in problems. They're taking their lives. I talk to my daughters all the time in America. pills like nothing. Our girls are selling their bodies right now for money. You see, don't like this kind of talk, but it's the truth. You should be in prayer now like never before. You shouldn't have to keep begging someone to come and pray. I pray that it changes. The bloodshed on our streets is not a joke. It's not a joke. In Acts 2 and 18, it simply says, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power, listen, of Satan to God. That's what your prayer life is. When you stand and pray, imagine you focus yourself on one of your boys. You are taking him from darkness. You are taking him from those chains that the enemy has wrapped around him. And you're bringing him through prayer into the house of God. I've seen it happen with my own eyes. People that we've prayed for walk through those doors. It does work. But we need to be committed. This is not a time where you can be Sunday Christians. I don't see how that can work anymore. Taking him from Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by the faith in me. The Apostle Paul pointed out that man is blind, enslaved, impure, immoral, poverty-stricken, and unholy. But he can receive sight, liberty, forgiveness, true wealth, and holiness upon the principle of faith in Jesus Christ and what Christ has done at the cross. At the cross. Prime example, we all know this, but I'm going to say it again. The woman with the issue of blood, as it says in Mark 5 and 25, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, means she had a female disorder and had suffered many things from many physicians, means that she suffered extreme pain at the hands of these doctors. She had spent all that she had and was no better, rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in a crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch the hem of his garment, then I shall be made well. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. What I'm trying to say here is, when you give your life to Christ, he washes away all of your sins as he did for this particular woman. She had 12 years of problems, 12 years of pain. You have to think sometimes our sons are going through years of problems, years of pain. Sometimes they want to come to the house of God, but you also have to recognize their friends will stop them. Their friends will show them nice things that are on our streets today. The love of money. Their friends will show them that how to make money. The gangs are taking our sons, as we know. The enemy wants them. The enemy wants to destroy all of them. We need to stand together now in prayer. More than ever before. This woman is a prime example that when you come into the house of God, how your life can change if you decide that I'm going to be steadfast, I'm not going to move. Challenges will come, we know this. Trials and tribulations will come. Men, women, we fall down, we do. I've done it many times. But you get up and you look to the cross of Jesus Christ and you keep pressing. Before you know it, like myself, you've been in the house of God for 11 years. Before you know it, things change. Before you know it, you become a deacon like myself. Before you know it, you're an usher. But you have to make a commitment that it's Jesus and Jesus alone. That's the only way that you're going to do this, especially in this time. And you have to remember that our children, especially those who grew up in the church, are struggling. That's why you have to come to pray. They are struggling. They want to be here. My son has said many times, Dad, I'm coming with you. And I've even turned up and he's disappeared. What's that tell you? He's spoken it from his lips, I want to come. But then something else strays him away from the house of God. That's the enemy. That's why we have to continue in prayer. Remember Lot's wife. Simply, I'm closing. Remember Lot's wife. An instruction was given to leave the city because God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Unfortunately, that's exactly like what we're living in today. That's why they have to know Jesus. And an instruction was given, leave the city, do not look back. Just like your walk, do not look back. There's nothing behind you. When you make up your mind that you leave those men, those women who are no good for you, those drugs and all those things you're doing, don't look back. This woman decided to look back. And what happened to her? We all know what happened to her. It's exactly what's happening to the young men and the young women on the streets today. As I stand here, the easiest way to do this, because more women come into the church than men, because our men, we know where they are. We have to war for them. So that's why you'll always see more women in the church than you will men. But the men are coming because we are praying for them. The men will come back, those who are left. When they realize there's nothing out there for them, they'll come right here, just like I did. See, when I was wrapped up in everything and I decided to make that walk, just like I can call certain women in the church, right, like my wife or like Sister Beverly. Don't you think they come in here broken? They come in here hurt. Both of them have boys that they had in the world. They brought them into the church. But they made a decision. They didn't just come up here and pick up a microphone. They didn't just become praise and worship leaders. They have to go through a test. And that's like all women. You have to go through a test. But unfortunately, with a lot of women is, I can't be bothered with this. So you run here and you run there. You get prophecy. You get foolishness and you run with it. And it doesn't help you. It destroys you. Sometimes, unfortunately, some of us are sitting here, but we're not here. We're just warming a seat, but you're not here. You're somewhere else. You see, I watch these women. I watch my wife. Steadfast, not moving. See, when you stay like that, you will grow. You will grow. Sister Beverly, Sister Pauline, they went through their trials and their tribulations. Of course they did. But then Sister Beverly and Sister Pauline most probably would have seen Sister Noreen and Bishop Errol Campbell, who are men, a man and woman of God, married and faithful. Foundations proper. You see, I don't understand why you run off and chase after pastors and this and that when your pastor here is solid. He's solid. But still you run everywhere. It don't make no sense to me. Minna do it. But that's your choice. So you see a solid pastor, you see a woman of God who's always in prayer for you. Sister Beverly would have seen that. My wife would have seen that. They would have said, man, one day I want to be married. They would have said that, but they wouldn't have focused on that. But God has got that. So they continue and become ushers. And then all of a sudden they become backup worship leaders. Or before that, all of a sudden, because I think Beverly got married maybe a few years before me, a man would appear. Right? You're not focused on that, but all of a sudden there's a man talking to the young lady. Next thing you see, a marriage. This is how it works spiritually. You've got to understand this. Women, you've got to understand this. But you have to be steadfast. And don't move. Because when you're running here, there, and everywhere, you're not getting nothing. You've got to understand what I'm saying. All of a sudden, they're married. Been in the church 2 minutes, there's a husband. Same as my wife. Same thing. As I said, they didn't just become worship leaders. Now, they've come from the back, and they are now worship leaders. My wife's sitting there doing the same thing, assisting Sister Noreen or whatever. I, all of a sudden, turn up in the church. I didn't just get here and take up a mic and no word. I had to go through the testing. Bishop Errol Campbell, Dr. Christopher, and all the other men of God, they test you. You go to nurturing class. You develop and grow. But you've made your mind up. You know what? That world that I was in, I don't want it no more. Next thing, there's your wife. Spiritually, you're standing at an altar and you're waiting for her to come. I'm trying to tell you, church, it works. Running up and down, that's up to you. That's your choice. But I can't see you getting better. I only see you getting worse. Because you don't know what disembodied demons you're picking up along your journey. Stay put. Especially when you're in a house of God that's full of the word of God. Where are you going, man? You know, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make a boast in the Lord. Your soul shall be making a boast in the Lord. Every morning you wake up, you say, thank you, Jesus. Let me tell you something. This is a great church. This is a great church. Any church that's based on the word of God, and you have a shepherd over you that you always see in prayer. As the Bible says, men ought always to pray and never to faint. This man of God, he doesn't faint. Unless he's a little bit ill or he's away on mission. Where do you see him? In the prayer room praying for you. Don't you think it's time you raise up out of your beds, out of your chairs, your seats, and come and join him? I leave my nugget right there. And I leave that with you. Stop being selfish, church. It's time we change. Some of you know that you ain't been in the prayer room month by month. You know where you ought to be. Join the man in prayer. Join the deacons. Join those who are there. Join Sister Noreen. We need you. We need to pray for our children. Even if you don't have a child, pray for somebody else's. Don't be selfish. God bless you all.